Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea's sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.
Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, providing cash flow solutions for businesses in Ireland with invoice discounting.
Today FM.
Ian Guider, Markets Editor with the Business Post, is with us. Why did Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue meet with Ulster Bank today, and what came out of the meeting?
Good evening, Matt. Well, there has been a lot of speculation in the last number of weeks that Ulster Bank will be either sold or closed down by its parent company, the British bank NatWest. Now, obviously, the third biggest bank in the country and its potential exit would be a huge blow for both the financial system, because, of course, we have two big, strong banks in AIB and Bank of Ireland, but we don't have a whole lot of other competition compared to other markets. And also, Matt, it's a small matter of the fact that it employs 2,500 people and has 80-odd branches across the country. So this is both important to the financial sector, but also important to the wider economy. So Pascal Donoghue held a virtual meeting today with the Ulster Bank Chief Executive, Jane Howard, and also the bank's board chairman in Ireland. Now, the upshot of that meeting is that Pascal Donoghue raised his concerns that staff should be kept informed rather than seeing some of the commentary in the media, and also that he hopes that this, given such the importance of this, that he hoped that they would stay. However, he said he has no role in this. It is for NatWest Group, the British bank. Now, Ulster Bank say no decision has been taken yet. There was a report last week that a vulture fund called Cerberus is interested in acquiring all of Ulster Bank's loan book. NatWest has denied this. They also say there is no timeline for when a decision on this strategic review will be made. My sources here in Dublin, and also I know the Irish Times have been reporting as well, that we understand that perhaps a decision could be made perhaps towards the end of October or in November, but Ulster Bank saying no time frame for that and it won't be done at an early date. I think, Matt, you get the sense today that there is a worry from the government. While they may not be articulating it fully, the loss of the third biggest bank in the country with hundreds of thousands of mortgage customers, tens of thousands of small business customers, at a time when we're heading into a second lockdown, what happens to all of those business customers if Ulster Bank decides that they are quitting the Irish market? There would be a lot of concern. What happens to all of those mortgage customers? It would take several years to wind down the bank or to sell it off in parts of it. However, this is the worst possible time for all of those customers.
Okay, let's get other news. And let's go international for a little while. Tell us about Netflix's new subscriber numbers falling short of expectations.
Yeah, I suppose they're a victim of their own success. Netflix has had an incredible year. So far this year, in the 9 months to the end of September, they signed up more customers than they did in the entirety of 2019. So they signed up 28 million customers. However, in the latter part of that period, so the 3 months to the end of September, they only signed up 2.2 million new customers. That was a little bit short of the 2.5 million new customers they were expected to gain. However, they are pointing out that they had an incredible first half because of lockdown and restrictions everywhere around the world. It meant customers signed up because they were bored and wanted to watch Netflix. So it would be impossible to repeat that number. However, they're doing really well. They made the most money they ever did in a quarter, $790 million of profits. And that, you know, as we head into a long winter of restrictions potentially, what they are saying is the catalogue of programs they have, while it has been slowed down, there will still be more Netflix original programming coming up in 2021 than there had been in 2020. So this idea that, yeah, production was shut down for a number of months, but they seem to have caught back up, and also the catalogue of some of their production. So the likes of The Crown will be back in November. They're filming Stranger Things, and they're also filming a lot of big blockbuster movies. So they say they are on track to be released on their original schedules. I suppose the question is, Matt, you know, they talked about falling short in this quarter, but as we've seen from around the world, see the UK going into restriction measures, will they actually get a bounce from us in the next couple of weeks? Shares in Netflix down around 6% in trading so far today. I have to say, markets taking these results badly, I think they're pretty decent, apart from some of the programs that I do have got lined up. Another Adam Sandler movie, one of those awful comedies being released.
Now, professional sports, of course, have taken a major revenue hit because of the non-attendance of crowds. And some of the details of how it's hit one big club has come out. Manchester United, how much lost revenue has been attributed to COVID-19 costs?
So their financial year runs like the football calendar. So it is the 12 months to the end of June last. And they reckon they lost 70 million due to COVID impacting match day revenue. Now, of course, they weren't in the Champions League last year, so that affected their broadcast revenue. But they are attributing the COVID impact to around 70 million pounds. Overall, their revenue over that 12-month period fell by 118 million. So as I said, you would have had a loss of broadcasting rights revenue. But the COVID impact on match day revenue, it is significant. Match day revenue is down 77%. Even broadcast revenue down 59%, even though they were in the UEFA league. So you can see the impact on sporting clubs. Manchester United, a loss over that period of time, £23 million. But a big impact came towards the end of that 12-month period. And warning that they cannot actually give any financial guidance for the current year, such as the state of flux as to whether crowds will be allowed to attend matches in the next couple of months. You can't see anything happening this side of Christmas, and certainly not well into the spring at this stage.
Okay, that might explain the activity in the transfer market as well, why they didn't complete the signing of Jadon Sancho from Borussia Dortmund, who did seem to be at an extortionate price.
And but worrying, Manchester United, worrying for them, the amount of debt that Manchester United has on its books, and this would impact its ability to buy players. It actually went up. It actually doubled 400 and odd million pounds of debt on its books at the end of last June.
Okay.
Now, where are you going to find money in the transfer window?
Thank you very much, Ian Guider, Markets Editor with the Business Post, for joining us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, providing cash flow solutions for businesses in Ireland with invoice discounting.
Today FM.